this working? Okay. Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about, basically it's a very long title, but it's actually parameter estimation on the region switching model using inverse Stieltjes moment method. And this is a joint work with my supervisor, Raj Mamamon, and Professor Rajiko from Australia. In my presentation, first I will introduce some background and some basic ideas. And for the main part, I will introduce how do I derive this dual pure PDE under HMM, the hidden Markov model framework. And then I will introduce how I get the inverse Stieltjes approaching method. For the numerical implementation, I have two parts. One is for the theoretical data and one is for the practical data. And for both parts, I will talk about how to obtain the data and talk about the results. And at the end is the conclusion. So in general, inverse problem means that we know the answer or the condition, and we have to find out the problem and the question that leads to this result and the condition or the result. So in financial math, normally we are talking about recover the model parameters using market data. And in my research, I focus on recover the parameters for a model governed by a hidden Markov chain. So why do we need this implied volatility? Implied volatility is very, we know, it's a very important parameter. We use it to understand price dynamics, and also we use it to monitor the market sentiments. So here are some previous studies related to the implied volatilities, and my work here actually extend this reference by assuming the underlying asset is governed by a regime by a Markov chain, a continuous time Markov chain. Now let's look at some benefit of using the region switching model. It's a simple way to incorporate the stochastic volatilities, and also it can capture a richer set of empirical characteristics of model. Here I list some previous work related to the region switching model and option pricing. So that's the introduction of the background. And so before I move on, let me introduce the notations for the further derivation. Xc is the state space of the hidden Markov chain. And A is the intensity matrix. So it has the property that the non-diagonal entries are positive, and also the column sum is zero. I denote Ci is as the core price in state I. So normally we don't see that from the market data, because in market data we only have one set of data. We don't see C1 in state 1 and C2 in state 2. Later on I will introduce how do I get the Ci's. And sigma I is the variance in state I. Sigma I and intensity matrix are the unknown parameters, and I'm going to recover from the market data. And for the calculation convenient, I just rewrite the C and sigma in matrix and vector forms. The inverse problem is first considered by Dupuy. So he suggests that if we know the European call option for all the strike price and all the maturity time, then we can recover the implied volatility surface from the market data. So based on this idea, we first need to derive the dual pure PDE under this HMM framework. We extend the research of Boyle in 2007. He suggests that the couple BDE of Black-Scholes type under HMM framework has this equation here, and the terminal value is just regular payoff function. So the difference is we have A here, that's the transition matrix. So if we assume this A is zero and assume we have only one value for sigma and C, then this PDE just recover to the original Black-Scholes PDE. And then using this this PDE here and also the terminal value, we can prove that C are homogeneous function with respect to S and K. And by Euler's theorem on homogeneous function, we can get the first equation here, and consequently we can prove the we can derive for the second equation. And just sub these two equations back to the Black-Scholes PDE like change variables, we can get the here is the Dupuy type couple PDE system under HMM framework. So the payoff function just becomes the initial condition for this PDE. So from this point, we want to use this Dupuy type couple PDE to recover sigma and A from the market data. Now let's introduce the so-called inverse Dilthey's moment approaching method. First, we define the nth moment of the call price using this equation here. And because this integral is a Dilthey's integral, that's why we call it inverse Dilthey's approaching method. So just multiply the Dupuy PDE by k to the nth and integrating over from 0 to infinity, we can get this big equation here. And then we have to assume the call prices is bounded. And using the integration by parts, we can reduce the previous big equation to this simple equation here. And that's a vector equation, and so it has each of this bond letter is a vector. So actually in here, it has an equation in this vector equation. So in order to use this approaching method, we have to assume that the call option price is bounded. So because, for example, for the pool price, it's not bounded. So if we have a pool price from the market data, we cannot use this method directly. We have to use pool call parity to get the corresponding call price and then apply this method. So if we have enough call prices, then we can calculate the moment. And because we have n squared parameters to estimate and we need n consecutive equation to recover all the parameters. So just take a simple example, let n equals to 2, that means the hidden Markov chain has only two states, the high state and the low state. Then the previous system equation can be rewritten in this matrix form. When t equals to 0, the initial value of the moment is this value. And because we have one term, the moment of call price in high state minus the moment of call price in the low state, at the boundary, this term will be very close to zero, and it will lead to a failure for this method. So in our calculation, we will avoid the boundary point for the approaching, and I will talk about that when we reaching the implementation. So in summary, if we have enough points for C1 and C2, we can calculate this 4 moments and then just use the previous matrix equation to calculate the unknown parameters for sigma 1 and sigma 2, and also the non-diagonal entries for A. And then by using the property of A, we can calculate the diagonal entries for this matrix A. We want to test this method, see if it's stable. So first of all, we want to test it with theoretical data. This data are obtained by using some true value of sigma and A to solve the PDE system. Then we have the solution C1 and C2. We use this solution to recover the parameter and see if it matches to the true parameters. And at the after we get the estimate of the unknown parameter, we use the estimate to solve the PDE again, because in here we don't have a equation for option pricing, so we have to solve the PDE again to get the estimate of the option price. That in that way we can compare. So there are lots of ways to solve a PDE numerically, and here I use the explicit algorithm because it's straightforward and fast. And also, as I mentioned before, because at the boundary the core price of Tuesday are very close, and it leads to a failure of the method. So we have to avoid the boundary point at k equals to 0 and k equals to infinity. Instead, we use k equals to a very small number for the left boundary and k equals to a large number for the right boundary. That means we don't really know the boundary conditions. And in this case, we have to use implicit boundary conditions, which is derived from Taylor's expansion. So overall, the algorithm is like this. First, we set up the initial condition for each kj. And at each time pi, just we can use this equation here to calculate the call price for the next time step. This matrix equation and combine this one, it's for solving the left boundary points for C1 and C2. And these two matrix equations are for solving the boundary points on the right boundary points for C1 and C2. And the matrix equations are derived from the Taylor expansion. So for the first case, we just consider a very simple form for A. It has only one parameter. And so we can see the column sum here is 0. Other two parameters values are here. And then we can just apply the our approaching method. So the method looks like it's independent to n, but actually it's not, because during the calculation we have so many calculation errors. For example, when we calculate the moments, we cannot really take the value k equals to 0 and k equals to infinity, and also some errors from solving the PDE numerically. So when we do the calculation, we want to put more weight on the option price. That means we want the approaching method focus on the option price instead of the errors. And we can do that by using higher order for the moments. And we can see that from the result. This table shows the estimate and the result for the first case. When lambda is small, that means the market is kind of stable. So the method is it can estimate the parameters quite well, and we can see the error is small even for small n. However, when lambda is large, that means the market tends to switch a lot. The market is very unstable, so it's quite difficult for the method to capture this information. And in this case, we can see larger errors compared to here. So in this case, we can use higher order of the moments, and then it will reduce the error from the calculation. And for the second case, just we consider A has two different parameters and assume all other values remain unchanged. So right now we have four parameters to compare with. And this table shows results from case two. And again, we can see when the lambdas are small and close to each other, that means the market is relatively stable. The method can give very good estimate and also small error. However, when the lambdas are large and also when the difference between them are big, that means the market tends to leave one state to enter another state. And in this case, the market is also unstable. So the method will return relatively high error, and we can again reduce that error by using higher n. So this two plots shows the estimate and actual option price. We can see, well, in this case they are very close and the error is small because we are using the data from solving the PDE. So next we move on to the implementation to practical data. So practical data, here I mean the market data, but in order to have a true parameter to compare with, we just simulate this practical data by Monte Carlo simulation with 5,000 sample paths. And we have two problems with this implementation. First, we have only one set, and we want to split this one set of option price into two sets so we can use our method. And the other thing is, normally the market data doesn't have enough points, so we will have like large errors in calculating the moments. So we have to interpolate between points to get enough points to calculate the moments. Here, I will talk about the splitting in my next slide. And for the interpolation, I use a MATLAB building function called pchip. And after these two steps, we have two set of option prices and also enough points, and then we can apply our method. Now let's see how I split one set of data into two sets. I believe there are a lot of ways to do it. So, and right now I'm doing this and it turns out working fine. Assume we have C bar and we want to split it into C bar 1 and C bar 2 corresponding to state 1 and state 2. And first we need some information for the current time. So I need the historical prices for the underlying stock. And I will use that historical data to give a preliminary estimate for the unknown parameters, sigma 1, sigma 2, the intensity matrix A, and also very important, we need the probability of each state, x1 and x2. And then I just use the estimate sigma 1 hats Sigma 2 hat and 8 hat to solve the dual-peer PDE to get C1 and C2. I'm not going to use this C1 and C2 for the method, but instead I'll calculate the difference between C1 and C2 and study the difference. Then I construct the linear system for C1 bar and C2 bar for the splitting. The first equation here says the difference between C1 bar and C2 bar should be the same as delta C here, and the second equation means the market price should be the expectation of the price in each state. And this table shows the result, and here notice that I have to use even higher order for the moment, because right now we have more error in the calculation for splitting and also the interpolation. And again, we can see similar pattern as before when the lambda 1 and lambda 2 are smaller error, but when they are big and big differences, larger error. And again, we can reduce the error by using larger n. So here is the plot for the actual and estimated option price. And very interesting, we found out that the error is small at the boundary when it's deep in the money and deep out the money. But the error is relatively larger when it's at the money. So I think we think that it's because of two reasons. First, when it's close to the boundary, the core prices of two states are very close, and the switching is not significant. That means the market is kind of stable, so the method can capture the information well. And also when we calculate the moment, we kind of taking integral from 0 to infinity. That means we have all the information for the strike price. And at the money, the difference of two call option price are quite different, so the market is more unstable compared to the boundary point. So in conclusion, we derived the dual-peer type PDE for the HMM framework, and we derive a linear system for the unknown parameters using the inverse Schultz moment approach. We show how to use this method for two types of data and do some analysis for the results. In the future, we need a regularization procedure for splitting, and also we attempt to further improve our implementations. Thank you very much.